This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 302, for the weekend of September 22nd through September 24th. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office, this little show where we talk about TV movies and other things that we've been entertaining ourselves with, new movies that are coming out, and also some interesting movie news here and there. So, Art, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. A little under the weather, but making it work.
Yeah, same here, even though I think you're a little more audible than I am. You're phlegm and other things.
Yes.
But, you know, so it'll be an extra special episode as far as the ears are concerned.
Toughen it out.
All right. So, speaking of extra special or not so much, well, to be honest, September's been an extra special month. Buoyed by the number one film. So here are your results for last weekend's box office. This is for the weekend of September 15th through September 17th. Here are your top five. At number one, we have It in its second week release with a 51% drop, still pulled in $60 million. So in 2 weeks, total gross $218 million. Wow. Budget, you're a big fan of budget. Budget $35 million. Number two, we have the first of two new releases, American Assassin, at $14.9 million. Number three, we have Mother! $7.5 million. Only in number three, but still only on 2,368 screens. At number four, we have Home Again, $5.2 million. And at number five, in its fifth week release, The Hitman's Bodyguard at $3.6 million. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that Home Again, it was the second week release. So there's your top five. Anything to say, Art?
I think that performance by It is pretty outstanding, all things considered. I guess I have a lot more to say about that later, but yeah.
Yeah, It's quickly becoming a phenomenon.
I would say so.
And a lot of people are telling me to go see it, and if I like Stranger Things, so that I might like this.
I would agree with both of those statements.
Yeah. So anyway, so that was our top five, our look back at last week's box office results. And so now we're going to move on over to new movies. And even though it's September, we have three movies that are coming out in wide release. One of them very close to wide release, but it's still wide release. So, Art, why don't you tell us about the first of three?
All right, we are leading off with the Lego Ninjago movie. It is 48% rotten, 50 reviews counted, 24 fresh, 26 rotten. 89% want to see it out of about 15,000 user ratings. In this big screen Ninjago adventure, the battle for Ninjago City calls to action young master builder Lloyd, aka the Green Ninja, along with his friends, who are all secret ninja warriors. Led by Master Wu, as wisecracking as he is wise, they must defeat evil warlord Garmadon, the worst guy ever, who also happens to be Lloyd's dad. Pitting mech against mech and father against son, the epic showdown will test this fierce but undisciplined team of modern-day ninjas who must learn to check their egos and pull together to unleash the inner power of spinjitzu. Rated PG for some mild action and rude humor. Genres action and adventure, animation, comedy, kids, and family. Directed by Charlie Bean. Written by Hillary Winston, Bob Logan, Paul Fisher. Runtime 90 minutes. We have Jackie Chan, Justin Theroux, Dave Franco, Olivia Munn, Kumail Nanjiani, Michael Pena, Zach Woods, Fred Armisen, and Abby Jacobson. A lot of recognizable names in there.
Mm-hmm.
I will probably end up seeing this. Fint loves Ninjago. Aubrey has enjoyed both of the Lego movies, Lego Batman and the Lego movie. So I can't see why we wouldn't go see this.
Yeah, the trailer has actually gotten good response in the few movies that I've seen in the theater this year. That people have been cracking up at, you know, some of the jokes in Ninjago. Which you hope aren't the best jokes in the movie, but, you know, those are trailers nowadays. But yeah, I'm almost considering taking, you know, dragging Jason to this, even though he loves Lego.
I mean, the Lego movies have been doing solid. You know, they if they stick to their formula, they can keep working it, and I don't see that changing. I mean, this could be the one that goes downhill because it's not as popular a franchise, but if they handle it, you know, like they've handled them before, I think it could go very well, playing to the strengths that Lego has, you know, for the type of movies that they make. So we'll see, but I'm definitely very interested, and I could definitely see seeing this, especially if I can get Fint to come along, you know. But he might want to go. He might already be going to see it with his dad. We'll see.
No, I was going to say that I think that there was a Lego Ninjago television series.
Yes, there is.
So maybe, you know, maybe they might have a little more experience, or you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, right. Built-in fan base.
Yeah. So yeah, 48%. So it is rotten.
Yeah.
Nell Minow, the movie mom, says it's colorful and entertaining, but does not come close to its hilariously meta predecessors. But she still gives it a B. So nothing too surprising or too pithy in these little blurbs. Well, let me take that back. Let's talk about Peter Howell from the Toronto Star, who is a top critic. The bloom is definitely off the brick. The anarchic spirit and spitball humor of the Lego movie and the Lego Batman movie have been replaced by characters and gags from a faulty assembly line. He has two out of four stars. And to go on a high note, Sean P. Means from the Salt Lake Tribune. The brick-based franchise's third outing, the Lego Ninjago movie, mixes Hong Kong-style martial arts and Japanese kaiju monster traditions into a smartly funny adventure that will hit kids and adults laughing in equal measure. 3.5 out of stars. I'm sorry, 3.5 out of 4 stars.
Oh yeah, boy. See, that, okay. That speaks to me. You know, Hong Kong-style martial arts and Japanese kaiju, those are both traditions that I was really into. So I can definitely
From where art is sitting, that is done and done.
Right, yes, yes. Yes, I am all in now.
You had me at kaiju. Okay, so let's move on over to the second of three movies. And this is is Ninjago a sequel? It's not a sequel, it's just Lego.
It's a shared universe, I think, because they call him a master builder. Right. So I think it's part of the shared universe, but I don't think it has any real ties.
All right, so this is definitely a sequel. This is Kingsman: The Golden Circle. No two anywhere, but it is a sequel. Kingsman: The Golden Circle. 50%. So right down the middle, 60 fresh, 60 rotten out of 120 reviews. For those who are struggling with math at home, 99%. 99 of 26,000 about user ratings and Rotten Tomatoes want to see it. So here's the description. Kingsman: The Secret Service introduced the world to Kingsman, an independent international intelligence agency operating at the highest level of discretion, whose ultimate goal was to keep the world safe. In Kingsman: The Golden Circle, our heroes faced a new challenge. When their headquarters are destroyed and the world is held hostage, their journey leads them to the discovery of an allied spy organization in the U.S. called Statesman, dating back to the day when they were both founded. In a new adventure that tests their ancient strengths and wits to the limit, these two elite secret organizations band together to defeat a ruthless common enemy in order to save the world, something that's becoming a bit of a habit for Eggsy. Yeah, Eggsy. This is rated R for sequences of strong violence, drug content, language throughout, and some sexual material. Genre is action and adventure and comedy. Written by Jane Goldman and Matthew Vaughn. Directed by Matthew Vaughn. No running time. but starring Colin Firth, Julianne Moore, Taron Egerton as Gary Eggsy Unwin, Mark Strong II, Halle Berry, Elton John, Channing Tatum, Jeff Bridges, Edward Holcroft, Michael Gambone, hey, Dumbledore, and Poppy Delevingne. So, yeah. What do you think about this one?
I'm really interested. I still haven't seen the first movie. So I need to go pick it up on DVD because the previews for this, I think, look really good. I mean, it looks like just an over-the-top action-adventure fest that I really need to get in on.
Yeah, I think from what I've heard, it's even more over-the-top than the first one.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's probably a matter of opinion how over-the-top the first one was, but... Okay, so it is 50% rotten, so I guess we should probably talk about some sound bites from the reviewers here. We'll go back to Movie Mom. A stylish and slightly less transgressive sequel. Gave it a B. Jamie East from The Sun UK. Maybe next time director Matthew Vaughn could leave the kitchen sink at home.
Ouch.
And we'll, since we went back to Movie Mom, we'll go back to Mr. Sean P. Means from the Salt Lake Tribune. Director Matthew Vaughn and writing partner Jane Goldman return with a sequel that tries desperately to rebottle the wow factor that made the first Kingsman so bubbly. They fail utterly.
Ouch. Well, we'll see what the box office turns up. But
oh, one more from Richard Roper from the Chicago Sun-Times.
Okay.
If a white towel had been handy as I screened the punishingly long and dreadful Kingsman Golden Circle, I would have thrown it at the screen and made a wish. Please make it stop. 1.5 out of 4 stars.
Ouch.
Yeah, but, you know, he cared enough to put the 0.5 in, so, we'll see. All right, so, Art, why don't you tell us about the last of three movies?
All right, the last one is Friend Request. 29%. 28 reviews counted, 8 fresh, 20 rotten. 76% want to see it out of a mere 4,000 user ratings. Laura, a popular college girl, is very active on social media and shares almost everything in her life with her 800-plus friends on Facebook. However, after accepting a friend request from an unknown girl named Marina, Laura becomes obsessed with Marina's profile and soon her friends begin to die violently one by one. Rated R for horror, violence, disturbing images, and languages. Genre is art house, international horror, mystery, and suspense. Directed by Simon Verhoeven. Written by Matthew Ballin, Philip Koch, and Simon Verhoeven. Runtime, 92 minutes. And we have Alicia Debnam Carey, William Moseley, Connor Paolo, Sean Marquette, Brooke Markham, Britt Morgan, and...
Liesel,
Ollers. I don't know any of these names. Are these
the only reason I know how to pronounce Liesel is Sound of Music. So
okay,
yay me. No, the female lead in this movie. Uh-huh. She's in Fear of the Walking Dead.
Oh, that's right.
That's where I've seen her before.
Okay.
Well, I saw. What was it? Unfriended. So maybe
that's the one.
We'll have to see that when it. Directed by Simon Verhoeven. Any relation to Paul, you think?
I would assume.
Yeah.
It's not a very common name.
Yeah.
Definitely something to look into.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, I have no interest in this.
It's not a father daughter movie? Yeah,
No. Not even a little bit.
Yeah, the only fresh tomato is the kind of horror movie you probably watched at a sleepover as a teenager. 3 out of 5 stars. And that's from Kate Lloyd of Time Out. Oh, yeah. We've literally just seen this in 2015's Unfriended. Tedious wannabe scarefest misses the true horrors of Facebook and cultivates a personality-free blandness. 1.5 out of 5. That was Marianne Johansson from Flick Philosopher. Okay, so that's going to do it for our look at the three movies that are coming out in the theater this weekend. So, obviously, you're going to make your own decisions. But, yeah, if I had to pick one, it would be Kingsman. It would be my one of the three. All right. So now we're going to move on over to Share Time. This is the part of the show where the hosts share what they've been watching on movies and TV or how other ways they've been entertaining themselves. We also play voicemails, and we have a voicemail from our guy, Tad. Tad, you're the man. So he's going to tell us about what he has been up to since we recorded last. So, Tad, take it away.
Hey, Backseat Box Office. This is Tad calling in with what I've been watching. It looks like I probably missed a couple of weeks unless, perchance, you guys are recording tonight. Anyway, what I've been watching. Okay, so I've started watching the CW DC show Arrow. I watched all of Flash and all of Legends of Tomorrow. So I figured I might as well try out Arrow. And I'm probably about halfway through the first season, and I'm really liking it so far. I hear season 4 or 5, one of them is kind of weak, and maybe the seasons after one aren't quite as good. But I'm enjoying it so far, and I'm going to try. Also, still, let's see. Went to the theater with my daughter and saw that Home Again movie. I don't really recommend anybody go and see it in the theater. I mean, it was pretty good. I could pretty much watch Reese Witherspoon do about anything. And it was funny. You know, it was a romantic comedy, probably more comedy than romance. But I liked it okay. My daughter wanted to see it, and, you know, it was some kind of daddy-daughter time. So, you know, that was good. Let's see. That's about all I've been watching lately. I'll call in again when I watch some more stuff. All right, thanks, guys, and great show. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you, Tad. Yeah, Arrow. It's on the list of shows that I'm going to have to watch sooner or later, but I'm glad you're enjoying it. And thank you for reporting back about Home Again. Now neither of us have to take that bullet.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's always, you can't, there's nothing wrong with a little father-daughter time.
Nope. I've also watched Flash and all of Legends of Tomorrow. And at some point, I will eventually make my way back to Arrow. It's just not right now. I still haven't made it through the first season. And at this point, I think I'm going to have to start over because it's been so long. I actually started with Arrow and then ended up moving over to Flash and then Legends of Tomorrow. And so I'll circle back at some point, but yeah.
All right. So that's going to do it for voicemail. So Art, what have you been up to?
Okay. So I've been up to a lot in the last 2 weeks. I finally finished The Defenders. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I like what they're doing with it. I don't want to give away any spoilers. But yeah, I like the direction it went, and I can't wait for more. I have, since that I finished that, I started watching season 4 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the Ghost Rider season. And I'm working my way through that. Orville premiered, and I've watched the first 2 episodes, and I don't know, I'm kind of waffling. I'm enjoying it a little, but I feel like it's going to probably need some time to find its feet. At times it seems like it wants to be more serious than it is, and at times it seems like it wants to be more comedic, and so I don't think they've found the right balance yet. But I've enjoyed it enough that I'm continuing to watch, I'm recording it, and so I've actually... they switched to their new night tonight. We're recording on Thursday, so I recorded it, but I haven't watched it yet. I watched. There is a new DuckTales series, and so I sat down and watched basically like a pilot with Aubrey, and the actual show starts the 23rd, which is Saturday.
Yeah, I think it's Saturday.
It was good. It was enjoyable. It was, you know, it was not, I don't know. It's hard to say. I'd have to go back and actually watch the original. But you know how you see things with your nostalgia, and it's better than you remember. So I think I like the original better, but I'm not sure. I haven't watched it in so long, so I couldn't say for sure. So the last time we talked, I had plans to go see It with Mark on Sunday. Mark blew me off.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Actually, sorry, not sorry. Go ahead.
Right. And then, but then he called me on a different day, and we actually did go. So I watched it, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. The people who are making the comparisons to Stranger Things and Stand By Me, it is completely on point. It's a supernatural thriller with some minor horror elements. It is not a straight horror movie. It is not a gore fest. It's not a bunch of jump scares. There are some, but it is very well balanced. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm happy with the amount of success it's having at the box office, the amount of good word of mouth it's getting, because it only covered the first half of the story, the part of the story that dealt with the children. You know, when they come back to go deal with the adults part of the movie, you know, that obviously they're setting that up for a sequel. And I will be very interested to see what they do with that. It actually had one of the kids from Stranger Things, and he absolutely killed it. I just enjoyed seeing him again. Something Wolfhard. It was the main kid from Stranger Things. I want to say Rick, but that doesn't sound right. Rick or Alan Wolfhard. It was fantastic. The trailers before it, I saw Bad Mom's Christmas, mm-hmm. which looks really funny. There is a Thanks for Your Service movie about soldiers. It looks very good. I saw a new fuller trailer for Blade Runner 2049, which I can't wait to see. A horror movie that looks like the horror version of Groundhog Day called Happy Death Day. It's somebody who keeps reliving the same day of their life with keeps getting murdered by the same person, and she's trying to figure out her own murder. New Justice League trailer, the Kingsman trailer, which has me all excited about that, and the Death Wish trailer with Bruce Willis. Looks like it's going to be very good. So we'll see. I picked up Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 and the new Lion King Blu-ray, but I haven't actually gotten a chance to watch either of them yet. Aubrey has actually never seen the Lion King. We've only been watching the Lion King 1 1/2, which is like the
it follows Timon and Pumba or Timba.
It's like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's telling it from the other side of the story. I think that about wraps it up. You know what? I have been watching a insane amount of American Ninja Warrior because Brittany has completely fallen in love with this show. So it is on constantly. I think I've watched, most of Season 9 within the last probably week because she discovered it online and then we found it on demand and... they just wrapped up the season finale. So that is it for my share time.
So does that mean that she's going to be on American Ninja Warrior?
She is. No. She knows she is not ever going to be an American Ninja Warrior. But she is starting to focus heavily on fitness and getting in better shape. So it's a motivator.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Was it on Tech TV or something like that? They used to show the Ninja Warrior that was overseas, I guess the Japan version.
Oh, okay.
In addition to some other, towards the end when they're struggling for programming, there was that. They started showing some game shows, some Japanese game shows. Where it was more, you had to walk across, these big foam doors.
Right, like Takashi Castle.
Yeah. Something like that.
And also the one that which we're called is modeled after it. The what is that show called? I'm blanking. But it's got the running commentary and it's where people are just falling all over foam stuff and into water.
You're talking about Wipeout.
Wipeout, yeah. Wipeout is basically the American version of Takeshi Castle.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's been 2 weeks and I have watched absolutely nothing movies or TV related wise. And I don't know if I'm having a Game of Thrones hangover right now. I'm longingly looking at the Amazon pre-order page for season 7 of Game of Thrones, wondering if I should just do the 30-day trial and get to season 7. I don't know. Lately, I've been really following a lot of like game websites kind of thing, and more like board games and role-playing games kind of thing. I've watched a couple live streams of some actual plays on Happy Jacks. They started, I don't know if you heard about, they're doing Dead Rain, which I guess is an RPG that Palladium puts out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've heard them talk about it on the show, but Palladium is actually paying them to play it.
Oh, okay.
Kind of thing. So it's four players, and they're co-GMing it. And it's kind of interesting because the location where they're starting is where they have the Ren Faire, which I drive by. It's at the Santa Fe Dam, where I drive by, you know, every day kind of thing. And so they're talking about the ins and outs of places around there, and why you'd want to go here or not there. I just found it interesting. And then last night they did another actual play where they're going to be doing Savage Worlds Pirates. And a couple of the people that I got to play with at the con are actually going to be on this actual play. So I watched some of that last night as well. I also received two games that I ordered at the con, both role-playing games. I don't know if I've talked about Bedlam Hall. Bedlam Hall is a, you know, Power by the Apocalypse. It's kind of like, you know, the characters play the staff of a haunted manor.
Mm-hmm.
After World War II. I don't know if I'm going to run it anytime soon, but he is a hilarious writer, Dave Kazea. So at the con, I bought that, and I bought Gruul Truck. Gruul Truck is a competitive RPG, which I don't know of too many competitive RPGs like this, but it's essentially your adventuring party has retired, and you're starting a food truck. And the reason it's competitive is that you really, they kind of want, you know, it's kind of like Captain Sonar. They kind of want to have you to have two teams of four, and you have competing food trucks. And you use a deck of cards to simulate the line of customers. And you just have to make rolls. And it all happens real time. And if you finish the first, if you're done with your customers, you can go mess with the other truck.
Okay.
So that's also Powered by the Apocalypse. So there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of narrative control given to the players kind of thing. The illustrations in there are hilarious. They have an A-frame stand for the food truck that says Food Burrito, and under it is Meat We Just Found. And under that it says Don't Worry, No One You Know.
Nice.
So I've been doing some alternative stuff. But yes, things I haven't watched, but I hope to watch soon. I have Logan that's staring at me right now.
So good.
The Defenders, obviously, I have to watch.
So good.
I think Preacher ended its run, so now I can watch the whole season. I'm kind of waiting on the Orville to see how long it lasts.
Yeah.
So maybe if they get through the first full season, maybe I'll watch. Maybe I'm just a binger now.
I don't know. It's weird for me to watch it in real time and be like waiting for a week to see a new episode.
I think this week was the 15th anniversary of Firefly when it originally aired. So, I mean, that's kind of taught me don't fall in love too fast too soon.
It's no Firefly.
No, I understand that, but just something that I like to watch that gets canceled too soon.
Right.
I don't want to have that happen again. Not that I'm ever going to love anything more than Firefly that first season, but never say never.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that's it for my share time. So now that we're done with share time, let's get on over to news. So what's been happening in movies, TV, or whatever else? So, Art, what is your first story?
Okay, well, this one caught my eye. first trailer for Wes Anderson's Isle of Dogs. So We've talked about Wes Anderson quite a lot in the past. You're quite a fan of a lot of his work. This is done in the style of the Fantastic Mr. Fox. So this is a stop-motion animated film. The story follows 12-year-old Atari Kobayashi, ward to corrupt Mayor Kobayashi, who has exiled all canine pets to a vast garbage dump called Trash Island. Atari sets off alone in a miniature junior turboprop and flies across the river in search of his bodyguard dog. Isle of Dogs opens March 23rd. So I really enjoyed the Fantastic Mr. Fox, and I would definitely be interested in this. And I thought I'd mention it because, you know, Wes Anderson.
No, I'm a fan of Wes Anderson. Maybe I should watch Fantastic Mr. Fox before I watch this, because that's a gap in my fandom there.
Yeah.
All right. So what do I want to talk about first? Okay, I'm gonna start lighthearted first, and it looks like all my news is concerning Netflix.
Okay.
So you know, gird your tabs. Story number one: get your kid a birthday greeting from Barbie or Pokemon with Netflix's Birthdays on Demand.
What?
So it basically says, if your kids can't stop talking about Barbie, King Julian, My Little Pony, Beat Bugs, or Pokemon, some of the more popular children's shows on Netflix, turn on the streaming platform on their birthdays and watch them flip out. Netflix is launching Birthdays on Demand, a series of 15 two-minute videos featuring birthday greetings from kids' favorite characters. The videos aren't personalized, but kids probably won't mind. Choose from DreamWorks' All Hail King Julian, Barbie, Beat Bugs, DreamWorks' Dino Trucks, Las Leyendas, Lego Friends, Lego Ninjago, Luna Petunia, Miraculous, Tales of Ladybug, Cat Noir, My Little Pony, Pokemon, Project MC2, Skylanders Academy, DreamWorks' Troll Hunters, Word Party. To find these videos, search the keywords birthday, birthdays, birthdays on demand, or birthday songs on Netflix. So, yeah.
I will be doing that. Aubrey's birthday is coming up very soon.
One's for you, bud. That's one for you.
It's Project MC Squared. MC Squared, Mass Constant Speed of Light Squared. It is a...
I did not see a superscript, so I'm saying two.
I'm just letting you know what the show is. It is an all-girls show focused on STEM. It is a very good show. Aubrey enjoys it very much. That is certainly a highlight. Thank you for that information. I will be taking that and putting it to good use. Here is some information that is going to bad use. We will see where this goes. Joker script coalesces as Justice screens. So more updates on the DC Extended Universe, starting with the Joker origin film. That is a mistake right there of epic magnitude. We do not need to see the Joker's origin. I think they have kept his origin just kind of so vague for so long, and I think it belongs there. I don't think you need to spell it out. Leave it alone. Do something else. But I guess this is what it's meant to be. So it's aiming for a 2018 shoot. We'll see where it goes, but I do not hold high hopes.
Well, they have an actor playing the Joker under contract, so they got to do something.
Right, but not an origin story. Have we not learned our lesson? We don't need any more origin stories. People are familiar with the comic book characters enough. They have entered the popular culture. They are part of the zeitgeist of what is going on in the country. We don't need origin stories anymore. Please stop treating the people like they're stupid.
Okay. Well, you know, it is nice every once in a while when you have an opinion. Okay. I'm saying that sarcastically. Okay.
I understand.
All right. All right, so something else in Art's wheelhouse. Voltron Legendary Defender.
Season 2. What?
Tell me more. There's a Season 4 trailer.
A Season 4 trailer? They just dropped Season 2, that long ago.
Okay, this was published Tuesday, so this is 2 days old.
Okay,
Netflix's Voltron Legendary Defender ended Season 3 on more of a question mark than a cliffhanger.
Really? And
mainly because the powers that be chose to split the latest season into two half-seasons.
okay.
So the latest trailer for season 4 is here, showing Voltron gaining some major popularity for the war effort, but it's not all sunshine and rainbows for the Paladins. So hopefully the upcoming 6-episode season, which debuts October 13th, will set things back on course. Allura and the team will be focused on building the Voltron Coalition, while Keith makes a rash choice that causes a rift between him and Team Voltron. Plus, Lotor's father, Zarkon, is now awake, and it seems like he's going to be stirring up some trouble within the enemy ranks. So, Voltron still happening.
Okay, well, they must have dropped 2 and 3, like, right on top of each other, because I didn't even realize they had a 3. But, yeah, okay, awesome. I will keep working my way through that one. I really enjoyed it. Okay, Paramount is not happy with J.J. Abrams.
Click. Okay, go ahead. Or that was a click because Dark Horizons was choking the browser, but go ahead.
Okay. If Hollywood project development deals are marriages, then J.J. Abrams' deal with Paramount is one of the most high-profile in town. Unfortunately, it also means his business philandering has become very public, with the filmmaker now twice dumping the opportunity to develop a new project to direct at the studio in favor of helming a Star Wars movie over at Disney. So yeah, he keeps bowing out on them to do Star Wars stuff, and they're not happy about it. Apparently, Paramount was also reportedly able to get Disney to pay up a one-time sum for the writer-director's absence, even if it wasn't much. Abrams' lucrative deal with Paramount ends next year, and the studio hopes once the director has finished Episode 9, he will come back to Paramount to renew his deal. So we'll see. A man, he knows what he wants to do, and they can't piss him off because he'll just walk away because he's in high demand. I don't know.
All right. Something – I don't know if this is high demand or not. But my Netflix story number 3 is about Star Trek. So Netflix has analyzed their numbers and they have released the most rewatched episodes on Netflix that have to do with Star Trek. The strange thing about the top 10, no original series.
Huh.
And no Deep Space Nine.
Interesting.
And no Enterprise, now we think about it.
So it's all just Discovery and Voyager?
So Next Generation? We have number 1, number 4, 5, 6, and 7, and 9 are all Voyagers.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I'll just go through the list. At number 1, we have Endgame. Parts 1 and 2, which is the series finale. 2 and 3 are Best of Both Worlds, Part 1 and Part 2, Next Generation. 4 and 5 are Scorpion, Part 1 and 2. 6 is The Gift, Voyager. 7, Dark Frontier, Parts 1 and 2, Voyager. Number 8, Q Who, Next Generation. Number 9, Time and Again, Voyager. And number 10, Clues, Next Generation. And a commenter has posted that 8 of those 10 shows are Borg-related. Either between a Borg engagement with the Enterprise D in Next Generation, or obviously a plot, or the plot kind of centers around 7 and 9 on Voyager. So they said this is how they figured out, or how the excuse me guys, this is how they counted and figured out this top 10. Netflix analyzed the viewing data of 104 million members across 190 countries that have been watching the following Star Trek series. Next Generation, Enterprise, Deep Space Nine, the original series, and Voyager. And in an attempt to look for data beyond default behavior, the first 2 episodes from any season 1s were omitted. A rewatch is defined when a member returns to watch at least 6 minutes of an episode they had previously completed. So this isn't necessarily they watch it once, but episodes they watched twice.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know about Voyager, but I just thought it was interesting that people are watching Voyager, probably because people didn't watch it when it first aired.
Nice.
Yeah,
I would have said that about Enterprise, but whatever.
Yeah
All right.
I don't know what the ratings are between Enterprise and Voyager, but it is what it is. All right, what you got next?
Yep. All right, IT producer adapting Ma K into a film, or is it maybe Mac? It's MA.K. But it's the image that caught my eye. It looks like a giant Battletech mech with a guy standing on it. So this is a sci-fi Japanese property, and the producer of it, Roy Lee, is teaming up with Scott Berenstein for a Warner Brothers picture. It's set in the distant future after a nuclear war caused survivors to flee Earth. When the planet is habitable once again, new colonies are set up, but it's not long before a battle over resources begins. One side wants to make Earth independent, and a new revolutionary war begins, this time with mechanized armored robots. You start talking about mechanized armored robots, I'm all in. Created by artist and sculptor Kao Yokoyama, Makei was a monthly comic that also tied into customizable model kits. So there you go. That has my attention.
Full attention, probably.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Netflix story number four, article number four. We're coming up to the end of September, and usually when we get towards the end of the month, we get all these stories about, hey, look what's coming and leaving Netflix. So the good news is that we have a bunch of new movies coming to Netflix, like Eagle vs. Shark, Don't Be a Menace to South Central While Drinking Your Juice in the Hood, Eyes Wide Shut, I Love You, Man. Not that that Don't Be a Menace is on any, you know, of my favorite list, but it's just a funny title to say. Okay.
Yeah.
I Love You, Man, Miss Congeniality, Miss Congeniality 2, Armed and Fabulous, Must Love Dogs, Tommy Boy. And that's in the 1st of October. October 2nd, we have Mr. Dynamite, the Rise of James Brown. October 3rd, The Cult of Chucky. October 6th, we have Skylanders Academy Season 2 for the animated fans. Donnie Darko comes back October 11th. October 13th is when Voltron's coming back. Apparently there's a Lego City, that Season 1, October 15th. Patton Oswalt has a comedy special, Annihilation, October 17th. October 20th, a Netflix original, The Day I Met El Chapo, the Kate Del Castillo story. One of the more underrated Pixar movies, Meet the Robinsons.
I love that one.
October 25th, Hateful Eight. October 27th, Stranger Things 2.
Nice. Just in time for Halloween.
Just in time for Halloween. Movies or TV that's leaving in October, all seasons of 30 Rock will be off of Netflix. Friday Night Lights, Happy Feet, Love Actually, Million Dollar Baby, My Name is Earl, seasons 1 through 4. My daughter's going to be upset, One Tree Hill. She loved that. Hotel Transylvania 2 is going to be off October 27th, and October 29th, Family Guy, seasons 9 through 14. Wow, it's been around that long. All right. So, Art, what do you got left?
All right. Hardy Tatum wanted for Beverly Hills Cop 4. Channing Tatum and Tom Hardy are reportedly under consideration to star alongside Eddie Murphy in the fourth entry in the Beverly Hills Cop franchise. But they are talking about it being a flip the script, as one of these two will be coming into Detroit and dealing with Eddie Murphy kind of on his home territory instead of him being in Beverly Hills. So we'll see how this goes. Murphy's involvement is also a big question. The actor's hesitancy to commit to a recurring role in Beverly Hills Cop TV series in 2013 was said to be a major reason the project never went to the series despite a well-received pilot. So we'll see where this goes. 1 and 2 were good. 3 was meh. I'd like to see Eddie Murphy get back into being funny. And, you know, this could be an opportunity for that. And I'd love to see Tom Hardy playing up opposite Eddie Murphy. I don't know. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah, it's interesting that they Channing Tatum, because Hardy and Pine were kind of like rival agents in This Means War.
Yeah,
and that was good. We enjoyed that.
I enjoyed that one as well.
All right, that's going to be the end of the news segment, and we're all out of segments, so that's going to be the end of the show. So everyone, thank you for listening to this episode of Backseat Box Office. Our website the website is backseatproducers.com, where you can leave us a voicemail, comment on the blog, find back episodes of this show and the other show, Backseat Producers, where they talk about movies a little more, let's say a lot more long form than we do. So backseatproducers.com, backseatproducers.com. And other than that, take care of yourselves, and we will catch you next time. Art, say what you will.
Good night, everybody.